sit up on top, and I'll sit right where you're at. You got room right there. You gotta go up here. Just like that. Thank you. Good morning, children. Say it again. Good morning, children. Good. Thank you. Sounds good. So how many are glad to be here this morning? Good. It's a blessing to be together this morning, and I thought especially as we were singing the one song where we said, "Oh, come, let us worship before our great Lord. Come, kneel down before Him in reverence and fear." And I think that's so important, that when we come to church, that we come for the right reasons, and that we want to stop, take time to worship God, and to learn about Him. I just had to think as I was sitting there, it'd be interesting to know where you will be in 30 years. You'd be 35, 40 years old, most of you, or more, to where you would be. And I just thought of this, and this isn't necessarily the lesson this morning. What would you like to be when you grow up? Who wants to say? What would you like to be when you grow up? You want to go to heaven then, right? That's after we die, okay? But on this earth, what kind of job would you like to have, or what would you like to be? Yeah, what would you like to be? What would you like to do in 30 years from now? Share the gospel. Good. And we want to do that. And I like these answers. That's good. We also, we'll have things to do. But as we do these things, we should be sharing the gospel. And we'll see more of that this morning. Anybody else like to say? People have been doing a good job, some of you. God bless. What would you like to be when you grow up? Preach? Okay, you want to be a preacher. Okay. Anybody else? You'd like to do construction, okay? Now, he wants to be a preacher, and you want to do construction. Can you share the word of God when you're doing construction? Can you do that with the people around you? Okay, good. That's right. So you can be both, okay? What else? What would some of you like to be? How many of you over here? Hope, go ahead. What? Help the poor. Okay, good. That's good. You've been to Haiti, haven't you? You've seen that. And you probably want to be mamas, right? You hope to be a mama and have some children that behave and look just like you. Is that right? Is that what you want? Think about that a bit. Well, this morning, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer before we go on. Father in heaven, thank you for this time, this privilege. Well, Lord, we just pray that you would minister to our needs this morning. Lord, we know life is a sacred trust that you've given us. Help us to be responsible personally and to our children as we have them with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to talk this morning about sin, the flood, and the ark. Now, I have with me just a little bitty model of the ark. It's not very big, but it gives you an idea. You see that? I wish I had one this long, but this is good for now. And we don't know if it was made exactly like this or not, but probably something like this. Just a big box, basically, okay? We'll talk just a bit more about that. What was the ark supposed to do? And we'll come back to that, okay? Why did God have Noah build the ark? Why did God tell Noah to build the ark? Because there was a flood coming, right? Why was there a flood coming? To wash away the wickedness. Now, the Bible says that, of course, God had made man. We all believe God made man, created man, right? Way back at the beginning. And then he created them for something special. And he gave them special instructions. And he said, I've put you here to live in the same way that I do, what God was saying. You know, that sounds pretty big, but that's what he put us here for. That's why he put man. He said, I've put you down here made specially in my own image, and I want you to live the same way that he does. Now, we'll never do that perfectly, but that's what he made us for. Then the Bible says this. It says that during that time before the flood, it just said that everybody, and he talked about wickedness, everybody lived in wickedness. In other words, wickedness was doing their own thing. It says that they were just constantly thinking evil thoughts, constantly doing their own thing. They weren't following God's instruction. They weren't following God's plan. And so what he had made them for wasn't happening. Now, how does God feel about disobedience and sin? How does God feel about that? He's sad about it, right? God is very sad about that. Somebody else want to say, how does God feel about disobedience and sin? How does God feel about that? Sad? You know, the Bible says that, yes, he's sad, but it upsets him because he knows what that's going to do in our life. Let's think a little bit with me. We're going to use some different examples here to help us understand a little bit what the people were doing maybe during that time. If you're playing a game, let's say you want to play a game, and there's 10 of you want to play, and most games have rules, right? And so you decide to play, and so you start playing, but all 10 of you decide to play it a different way. How well does the game go? Not good. That's right. And it's no fun, right? Because it's just all confusion, and it's not good, and people get upset at each other, and children are disappointed and frustrated, okay? In school, when you're doing schoolwork, and there's the game, it just doesn't work if you don't follow the rules. In doing schoolwork, so you got some math, some of you maybe not in school yet, but just think with me. If there's a problem in math and it says 3 plus 4, and then you're supposed to put down the answer. And you say, well, you know, I know that's supposed to be 7, but I kind of like to make that a little different, and I'm going to make it 4 minus 3. So I'm going to put down 1. That's kind of like what I like for this problem, you know. I know it says plus, but I'm going to make it a subtraction question. And so you put down 1. Or maybe there's another one that says 2 plus 1. Well, I know that should be 3, but I kind of like to do a little different, so I'm going to make it 21. You know, 2 plus 1? So we're going to make it 21. And you know, you go on and you do your whole assignment like that. What's your teacher going to say? What kind of grade are you going to get? Going to fail, right? She said, no, can't do that. Or she's not going to, you think she's going to say, well, that's fine. That's close enough. That's good enough. So when you grow up and you need to do math and you need to add and subtract stuff, big deal. I'll be okay. You think she's going to say that? Not at all. Not at all. She says, it ain't going to work. Unless you learn this right now, when you get older, you're going to have big problems. Real big problems. Some of your dads, how many of your dads do construction work? Some of you do, right? Build houses or something, okay? Imagine if they had 6 people working for them. They come to work in the morning and the boss lays out the blueprint, says here's what the house should look like when we get done. So let's follow this and let's do this and this is what we want to build, okay? So everybody kind of looks at it a little bit and walks away and they grab their hammer, nail gun, whatever they have, and a saw, and they just grab some lumber and they start just putting it wherever. One guy says, well, I kind of like a pile over here. This, I kind of like how this might look. And another fellow grabs some lumber and he just kind of nails it together over here and says, this looks kind of neat, you know. And another fellow over here and another fellow grabs a door and he puts it in the roof. It's suppose. And somebody else puts a window in the roof. And you know what? What kind of house are we going to have? Is that going to work? It's not going to work, is it? What do you think the boss is going to do? So here's his helpers, supposed to be working together to make this house that looks just like this prince says. So when it's done, it looks like a house. It is a house, and it's a good, safe place to live. But they're doing that kind of stuff. What's the boss going to do with his workers? What do you think he's going to do? Say it. Fire him. That's right. He's going to fire him. He's going to say, you either listen to what we're supposed to do here. We're building a house. And if you can't follow the instructions, you're going to have to go, and I'm going to get somebody else that will follow instructions. Same way at a cabinet shop. Some of your dads work at a cabinet shop, right? Right, okay. So here they have a blueprint. They have a plan. It says how to build those cabinets and how the people want it. And so somebody says, well, you know, I'm making the front of the cabinet. And maybe he does it right, okay. There's some that'll do it right. And so he makes it for a square door. Somebody else is making the door for it. He says, you know, it says a square door here, but I think a round door would look kind of neat. So he builds a round door. And somebody else is supposed to build the end for the cabinet. And it should be maybe about, I don't know, 23 inches by 34, whatever it should be. And he says, you know, I got this piece of wood, and it's not quite that shape, and it's a little too long and a little odd shape, but it's going to be okay. So he sends it on through. And somebody else is supposed to build a countertop for it. And usually I think they're, I forget, 26 inches or whatever it is from front to back, at least to cover the cabinet. And he says, you know what? I think about a foot and a half countertops look kind of neat. So he just makes it a foot and a half to put on a 2-foot cabinet. What kind of kitchen is that going to be? What do you think the boss is going to say to those workers? Go fire them. He says, unless you fellows listen and do it how it's supposed to be done and follow the blueprint, you can't work here. That's really just common sense. Now, how many of you have chores? What kind of chores do you do? Give me one chore you like to do. What do you do? Give me one thing you like to do. Do you feed something? How's that? You like to drive the bobcat, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to be careful with that, don't you? You don't play with it. You can get hurt, right? Okay, so you got to be careful. And we mess around and we do wrong things. You don't chase the dog with it, do you? Better not, right? It's a good way to get hurt. What are some other chores you like? I want us to understand that when we're given instructions, it's important to follow them. What are some more chores you have? Give me one chore. Go ahead. You feed horses, right? Okay. So you, it's time to feed the horses, and you say, well, I think I have this bucket of real nice, pretty rocks. I bet he'd like those. And so you dump those in his manger. Is that going to work? Horses don't eat rocks, right? And you know, the list goes on. Maybe you have a dog. Yeah, maybe you have a cat. You try and feed him dog food. Cats are pretty fussy. They don't like dog food. But you're supposed to follow instructions, right? How many of you sweep the floor? Mom says, there's the broom, there's the dustpan. Sweep it up, pick it up, put it in the trash can. So you're sweeping away and you get no sweep and nobody's looking. You pick up a carpet and you sweep it underneath. And over here you do it again and under the carpet. And looks nice and clean, doesn't it? What if you do that a number of times? You're going to have a pile under the carpet. Mom's going to find it out and says, whoa, that's not what we said. Isn't that right? That's not how you sweep the floor. Well, some of those things may be kind of funny, but in all seriousness, when God tells us what he made us for and how he made us to operate, then we better listen. We better listen. So when the people back then were simply not doing what God said, they were all doing their own thing. And what God had put them on the earth for just wasn't happening. Now, there were a few people left yet at that time. Noah and his family. And God said, you know, I'm going to destroy these people. I'm going to have to fire them all and start over, except for the ones that are listening and doing it right. And so he instructed Noah to build this boat, to build an ark. Now, what was the boat supposed to do? How big a motor did this boat have on? Anybody know? Didn't have a motor? Why not? Because it floated, yeah. But why didn't it have a motor? I don't know if they had gas motors, but they could have fixed something with a horse to power it, to make something so it would move. But it didn't have that, right? Why not? God directed it. And he said, this is supposed to simply float, right? It was a place for the obedient people to go to be safe in the flood. They weren't going to go anywhere. Just float and just stay there until the flood was over. Now, we don't know if it was made exactly like this. It was about 450 feet long, approximately. And I don't know, some of these chicken houses in the area are 500 feet or so. Roughly gives you an idea about how big it might have been. 75 feet wide, which is quite a bit wider than most of the chicken houses, but then three stories high. So imagine a little bigger, wider chicken house, but three of them on top of each other. That's how big it was. And for Noah to bring all the animals in here that needed to be in here, people say, oh, they couldn't have done it. But you know what? He could have very well. Those animals could have very well been just baby animals. They didn't take much room. And there's lots and lots of room in here. They say there's as much room in the ark as there would be in 522 train cars. That's a lot of train cars. And one train car will hold about 240 sheep. So you have 500 and some train cars that would hold 240 feet. That's a lot of animals, isn't it? So even the giraffes might have just been baby ones. But whatever it was, they're saying there might have even been room left in there. And then they had enough food in there to feed them. And you know, they probably didn't feed them to make them fat, but to keep them satisfied and keep them hungry. God knew what he was doing. And maybe the ark had a little something like this on, so that if the wind blew, it would keep it so the waves would go across. If the waves wave this way and you're sitting here, then the boat would do this. But if it was this, and if there was any wind, then it would stay across the waves, so it wouldn't sit there and rock so bad. So we don't know for sure about some of those details. But God made it. It was simply a box that was supposed to float. And that's the provision. That's what God made to save the animals that he wanted to save and for the people that were obedient to him. Now, the Bible says, see, God could have used a lot of different ways to destroy the people, to fire them all and start over. But he decided to use water and the earth, and it was more than just water. It says, you know, we see these pictures of a boat with some animals hanging out over the side and a bunch of them, and they're watching there, and it's raining, you know. Really, that's not the way it was. It was a big box that was closed in and a safe place because the flood was a horrible, horrible, horrible experience. Probably there was a lot more water underground than what there is today. Maybe most of the water was underground, quite a ways underground. And yes, they didn't used to have rain, but when that canopy broke and it started raining, and not only that, it says the fountains of the deep broke open. And it said God was going to use the earth, destroy the earth, and use that method to kill the people. And he did. Probably if we'd have seen the earth back then and see it now, we'd say, well, they don't even look alike hardly. That's how bad it was. Scientists are saying that most likely there was a lot more water under the earth, and when that broke open and burst up through, it brought dirt and rocks, lots and lots and lots of dirt and rocks, and just blew it way up into the air, way up into the air. And so it rained down lots of water, lots of mud, lots of rock, and just buried everything. And some of it went up high enough that it froze and came down over like the North Pole and those areas where there's so much snow and ice. And it came down so quick and so much that the animals were there. Some of them, it buried so fast in snow and ice that even when they find them today, they're dead, of course, but they still have the green plants in their mouth that they were eating when it happened. And it just buried them that quick, that fast. If you've traveled Pennsylvania or somewhere in the mountains, have you seen already where the dirt layers are different colors of dirt layers? Have you ever seen that? You ever seen that where it's all different layers, okay? That probably happened at the flood when all this dirt and rocks and everything went up. When it settled in the water, then it settled out in the different layers. So that's probably directly from the flood when you see that. And plants and animals were buried hundreds of feet down. And that's what made the oil. Then that's where we get our gas and stuff for our cars. Scientists are seeing these things, are looking at these things, and they're saying that's what happened. The flood was a horrible, horrible, horrible time. It wasn't just the rain. It was a terrible, terrible, nasty happening that happened. Probably many of the people didn't die so much from drowning as they did just from all this stuff coming back down, mud and water and rocks and everything else with the rain. But at any rate, God covered the whole earth with that. Wow. Because people didn't obey. Now, our parents don't quite do that when we sweep the dirt under the carpet or when we don't do our math right. But I want to tell you something. What I want us to understand is it's important to listen and obey now when we're small. Somewhere these people started doing wrong. And it just got worse and worse and worse. And Jerry was just talking about the people in Chicago. And I had to think about this. So many people doing their own thing, doing what they want to do, but not doing what God really wants us to do. So I just want to remind us about the best we can do when we're young like this is listen to our parents and our teachers. Listen to what they teach us, and let's follow their example when they show us the way to follow God. Because I hope in 30 years from now, none of you will be living in such a way that God will be angry with you. The Bible says that those who obey Him, He is happy with. But those who disobey Him, He's angry with. And eventually, He'll have to destroy them and send them to hell. Now, but for right now, when you're young like this, simply listen to your parents. Listen to those who are teaching you. Listen to your church leaders. Learn and follow God's blueprint. He's given us His blueprint right here. It tells us what He's like, and He says to follow His example. And it tells us what He wants us to be. And you know what? Just like building the house or the cabinets, when they follow the blueprints and it's done, it's like, wow, that's really neat. And that's the way God feels. When we follow His instructions, His example, He says, wow, that's what I wanted. And I'll bless you now. That doesn't mean everything will go great, but it means it'll be okay. And then when we die, we can go to heaven with Him. Back then, the ark was there. And the ark had pitch on it. They put tar on it. After they had all the wood together, they put tar on it so it wouldn't leak, so it wouldn't sink, okay? So when the obedient people went in here, which was Noah and his family, only 8 people that were saved, but it was a safe place, and the flood didn't get them, okay? Didn't hurt them. God said He won't destroy the earth again with water, but someday He'll do it with fire. And we won't need an ark then like this, and we won't need pitch on it. But then what we're going to need is Jesus in our life. What we're going to need is to be obedient to God. And as we understand, and I just want to tell you, as you learn, as you grow, as you understand more, just be obedient to what you're being taught and you understand. And it'll be okay. Regardless what comes, you'll be in a safe place through Jesus. And you don't have to worry about being destroyed. Lord bless you. So you go, let's just bow forward to prayer. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your word. I thank You so much for how you made us. You made us in your image, in your likeness. Lord, we can't quite grasp that. But we believe you designed us to be like you. And yes, we'll make mistakes here, but Lord, help us to study you and to learn who you are so we can follow your plan, your blueprint for us, so we can be what you want us to be here, so you can be happy with us and you can be blessed and we'll be safe in you. We thank you for the example of the ark and what it meant back then and what it teaches us today. Be with each of these children, Lord. I just pray that as they grow up, if you give us life, give them life, as they grow up, they would be those who would bless you and that you'd be happy with. Help them to choose that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may go back to your parents.